Please stay standing and turn with me to number 156 in the blue. It is, yeah. And last but not least, number 229. Sorry.
Thank you. Our scripture passage is Psalm 104, the verses you see on the screen. God makes springs pour water into the ravines.
It flows between the mountains.
They give water to all the beasts of the field.
The wild donkeys quench their thirst.
The birds of the air nest by the waters.
They sing among the branches.
God waters the mountains from God's upper chambers.
The earth is satisfied by the fruit of God's work.
God makes grass grow for the cattle.
And plants for humans to cultivate.
Bringing forth food from the earth.
Thank you and good morning. It is so good to be back on EMU's campus, introducing our wonderful guest this morning. My name is Becca York, and I'm actually an EMU grad, 2015 in Peacebuilding and Development, and I also recently just graduated from the Mennonite Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana. So I'm currently working with the Center for Sustainable Climate Solutions, which is a joint initiative between Mennonite Central Committee, Eastern Mennonite University, and Goshen College in Indiana. And we are implementing a project called the Global South Voices Speaking Tour on Climate Change. And we have been on tour, the four of us, for the past 2.5 weeks, and we're just about done here. We end on Friday. The goal of this speaking tour is to bring voices from around the globe to churches, universities, and students in North America to hear directly from these individuals how the shifts in the climate are affecting their individual communities. And maybe more importantly, how can we learn from the global church when it comes to putting our faith confession and commitment into action? So this morning you're going to be hearing from our three partners, three different voices whose work intersects on climate change mitigation efforts through women's empowerment and grassroots peacebuilding work. First, you're going to be hearing from Dr. Sibo Nakube, who works with the Brethren in Christ Church in Zimbabwe and also runs an NGO there in Zimbabwe. Then you'll be hearing from Durga Sunchuri, who works with MCC, Mennonite Central Committee in Nepal, as the program coordinator. And finally, you'll be hearing from Zacarias Martinez, and he'll be talking about his efforts with ANADES, or the New Dawn Association of El Salvador, and then we'll have some time for conversations with each other after we hear from these three partners. So please welcome them with me.
A blessed morning to you, excellent collective of the EMU. And so my context is not only the Global South this morning, or the Global North as we are here territorially, but I'm here to come and ask us all to identify ourselves as not only intergenerational beneficiaries of the greenhouse gas emission Olympics, and I'm here to call us to a generational consensus of improving stewardship as we deal with the world of haves and have-nots that has actually become worse because of the raging climate, not only in the South, but also in the North, as we have been seeing in coastal America. It has been stimulating waves of migration and refugees, creating new divides of the hardworking us and the criminal them, as the storms rage and the droughts scorch. I'm here to call us to a new frontier of exercising radical discipleship, where excellence, academic excellence, and professional competence, tightly bound by a passionate Christian faith that not only shepherds from the front, but also leads from the back, as we tread softly from America to Zimbabwe, committing to the values of walking humbly, doing justice, and loving mercy, because this is what I think an effective response will require. Zimbabwe is in sub-Saharan Africa. It is landlocked, and anything that happens in our nation invariably affects the four direct nations that have a border with us. The changing climate over the past 40 years has shown us that droughts are more frequent. Wet seasons are wetter than they should be, and they're shorter. And who is suffering most when we walk unjustly, when we walk and consume in pride? Who is suffering the most as we continue in that framework of business as usual? It appears to me that it is the poorest of the poor. And amongst those poor are the uninsured, who have no control whatsoever on the raging weather patterns, who have no control whatsoever on the unjust structures and governance systems that make them go hungry, being unable to get good seed from the market, relegated to live on homesteads with multiple graves that are the consequence of the waves of migration, and how disease, HIV and AIDS, is a riddled narrative within the waves of migration. We have a gogo, or old woman, there, and she sits and cooks a pot of something, and perhaps that's the single meal she'll have in a day. Is it God, and is it just, where there's a world of Olympians who live in plenty, and a world of a few who live with little? Let us look to the throne and change our consumption and production. Let us look to the throne and not deny what is obvious to others, and a choice because of insulation to others. For in this house, perhaps, together with many other communities of faith, there lies our hope when we all act together as all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small.
Good morning. I'm from Nepal, Durga Sinchuri, working with MCC, and I bring some of the stories of climate change impact in that part of the world, and especially from Nepal, and that represents many of the South Asian countries. South Asia is one of the main area. There are some of four or five countries which are most affected by climate change and a lot of sufferings kind of things in human life. You can see in the picture, Nepal is in South Asia, in Asia, and in between of India and China, and it's a landlocked country. I will share some of the stories, what is happening due to the climate change and global warming. You know, Nepal, India, Pakistan, those areas, there are the high Himalayas, and many are in Nepal, most part of it is in Nepal. And the high mountains, those Himalayas are melting so quickly, very fast. And you can see in the picture there that the comparison between these two pictures, the same mountains, actually it's a glacier, Amadablam, and in 50 years' time, it is melted a lot and it's going up and up. So all the mountains and the Himalayas, the snow line is going up and up. And what does it mean then? Many millions of people in South Asia, including Bangladesh and India, they depend for their waters on these Himalayas. It's the water resources for many people. And of course, when the mountains are melting, that means the sea level is increasing. We know that. And many islands are drowning underwater. And specifically among the people's lives and daily livelihoods and incomes, I bring this picture and the story from eastern part of mountainous areas of Nepal. These women are suffering. They were suffered a lot for their drinking water. They built a drinking water systems using their local water spring, water resources, making pipelines about 20 years before, and it slowly started drying up. And in 2015, it was totally dried up. And then they had to walk for 2 hours to fetch water. And many families, they leave with their income of raising cattle and growing foods in their farms. And if there is no water, they had to lose their incomes also. So after 3 years of struggle, they could build a water system. They brought water from neighboring villages with a lot of negotiations with them. Because nowadays, due to this drying up water resources, communities are in conflict for water resources because everyone wants to use it and then it's not enough. And it creates conflicts among the communities. So they could build the water systems after 3 years of struggle, walking 2 hours daily to fetch water, but the people are still not sure that how long that will run, because they are experiencing more and more water resources dried up in their areas. So to name some of the climate change impacts in the lives of people in Nepal are water resources dried up, I already mentioned, and these mountains melting. Due to the mountains melt, the lakes in the mountain areas are risk of bursting. And if they burst, that means they swipe many, many families, many communities in the valleys there. In the recent years, we are experiencing more frequent disasters like drought or heavy rainfall and landslides and flooding. Landslides in the mountainside and flooding in the plain areas. And that affects the lives and livelihoods of the people, and many people die each year. Weather patterns are very unpredictable and very extreme. Sometimes it rains so heavily in a week or in 2 weeks' time, and it doesn't rain for 10 months. And people suffer because they cannot produce food in their farms. That causes migration also. People are forced to leave their areas, their villages, and move towards the cities or even abroad. And that has other different effects in the people's lives. So we are trying to address these issues of climate change through the government side, from non-profits, and raising awareness and taking actions. And from here, I urge the people, you who are present here, I remind you that it's our responsibility to address these issues. Whenever we address, that affects the whole world because we share the same atmosphere and the same earth. Thank you.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Mi nombre es Zacarías Bernabé Martínez.
My name is Zacarías Bernabé Martínez.
Y vengo de El Salvador a contarles la situación del cambio climático que estamos viviendo.
And I come from El Salvador to talk about how climate change is affecting all of us.
Decirles de que en El Salvador el problema del cambio climático es un problema que nos está provocando serias dificultades en las comunidades.
And to tell you that in El Salvador, climate change is affecting, it's a serious issue that is affecting all our communities.
Esto del cambio climático nos está también, por un lado, nos está dando como una oportunidad de capacitar mucho a las mujeres en el tema de derechos humanos.
And this issue about climate change is also an opportunity that is leading us to train especially a lot of women in areas like human rights.
Estamos luchando porque haya mucho empoderamiento hacia la mujer en el tema de producción, pero también que conozcan las leyes, porque tenemos leyes, pero no se cumplen.
And we are trying to increase the empowerment of women, especially about producing food and women in leadership roles.
Entonces, Hemos logrado algunos avances, pero es bastante cuesta arriba porque se necesita mucha conciencia, se necesita mucho liderazgo para luchar contra este fenómeno.
So we have, and we have advanced a lot, but there's also it's also a struggle, and we have to create a lot of awareness about this issue because we need the help from everyone.
El problema del cambio climático no es un problema solo de calentamiento global. Es más tremendo este problema.
And the problem of climate change is not only about global warming. It's beyond that. It's more complicated than that.
Que hoy en el mes de junio no llovió todo el mes, más 10 días de julio, y eso provocó 42 días sin lluvia.
For example, in the month of June, plus almost half of the month of July, we didn't have any rain.
Entonces, las comunidades rurales son las que más sufren y no tienen alimentación para el año que está por venir.
And so rural communities are the ones that are most affected because they can't grow food.
Y la población, al verse desesperada, piensa migrar, está migrando del campo a la ciudad, pero también mucha gente está vendiendo sus pertenencias, como una vaca, las gallinas, y quieren venirse a Estados Unidos.
And the communities, when they're desperate, then they're forced, they start feeling forced about selling their properties, selling their animals, or migrating to other places or cities.
Entonces, el problema del cambio climático es un problema global.
So, but the problem of climate change then is also a global issue.
Es un problema también de injusticia social.
It's also a problem of social justice.
En El Salvador, las grandes empresas tienen un monopolio del agua, mientras las comunidades rurales no tienen agua.
In El Salvador, for example, big companies have a monopoly in the ownership of water resources or water banks, while there are communities that don't have access to water.
Y el agua es un derecho humano tanto en El Salvador como en los Estados Unidos y en todas partes del mundo.
And water is a human right in El Salvador and in the United States and every part of the world.
Por lo tanto, eso evidencia que la injusticia social en El Salvador es tan grande.
Therefore, that's sort of that's evidence that the social justice or that is a social injustice in El Salvador, and it's a big injustice.
Pero estamos haciendo muchas cosas por cambiar esta situación. Una es empoderar en conocimientos, hacer mucha reforestación, ahorrar el agua, ahorrar energía eléctrica.
But we can also do a lot of things, and we're doing a lot of things. One of them is to reforest or to plant more trees, to save water, and to improve our way of agriculture.
Y conocer las leyes, porque conociendo las leyes se puede lograr a exigir.
But also get to know our laws and understand our laws, because if we understand them, then we can demand the implementation of them.
Y estamos trabajando también en red con las universidades, iglesias y algunos colegios, y estamos trabajando mucho la educación, el tema de mejoramiento del cambio climático.
And we're working a lot in education about climate change and building networks with public schools, universities, churches.
Entonces, la tierra, el agua, es algo que Dios nos dejó, pero es algo que no estamos cuidando. Somos malas y malos administradores de los recursos que Dios nos dio.
So the way we see, for example, the water is a resource that God gave us, but it seems like we're not really taking care of it.
Entonces, el reto es educarnos y cambiar de conductas que no son favorables con el tema del medio ambiente y descubrir qué podemos hacer en alianza con otros países, pero también desde la familia.
So the challenge that we have is to increase our education, to educate ourselves about that, and also to build alliances or to build partnerships with the global community or communities around the world.
Muchas gracias por escucharnos.
Thank you so much for listening to us.
So I invite you to get into groups of two or three And this invites a one-minute conversation, which tells you where I thought we'd be by this point in the service. We actually have time for a three-minute, maybe four. What is your prayerful response to what you have heard this morning? Certainly the Student Solar Initiative, coordinated by Andy and Mim Earthkeepers and others, is a key example of a response, but also a proactive engagement. Many of us are trying to live lives that have lower carbon footprints, and yet, we fail because we're in such an affluent culture, and what seems normal to us is actually, did you call it Olympian? The Olympians, the Olympian culture. So talk a bit amongst yourselves. Also, if you at this time would like to come up and talk with one of our panelists, they'll be right down front too, and please do that also. Several minutes of conversation. Okay, if you finish your thought, or at least finish saying what you were saying. So a lot more conversation to be had. And next week in the convocation program, right here at this time, we'll be hosting Jim Schultz of the Democracy Center. He is a longtime, justice worker in Cochabamba, Bolivia. He's now living in New England. When our summer cross-cultural to Bolivia group was in Cochabamba, he came and gave us a talk on climate justice, and really saying for the young generation, climate change and climate justice issues is the biggest challenge that your generation, the youngest ones among us, were born into. It's yours, whether you want it or not. And so he's going to bring a compelling call to action next week, and I encourage you all to come back and engage with him. So we're going to move to the video. It's never enough to put our affluence to work to raise money to help people around the world, and yet that is one of the responses that is before us because of affluence. The Virginia Mennonite Relief Sale is this weekend, and Mennonite Central Committee does help to fund many water projects and other climate justice related and human rights projects around the world. I want to show this video inviting you to the relief sale, and then we'll move ahead with campus announcements.
So when you think of the relief sale, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
The first thing that comes to my mind when I think of the relief sale is a mix between the smell of donuts and James, that passage in James chapter 1 where the author says that we're supposed to be doers of the word and not just hearers.
The first thing that probably comes to my mind when I think about the relief sale is the auction that goes on. My mom puts a lot of quilts and stuff into the relief sale each year, and so that's always an exciting thing to come to the relief sale for.
The first thing I think about when I think about the relief sale is making connections with friends. I see lots of people over that time that I might not normally see, so it's a big social gathering.
Well, I think about the volunteers that have come out early in the morning to do this, and I think about what it's being used for needs around the world, for relief.
Family tradition. My family was involved in the Pennsylvania Mennonite Relief Sale for years and years and years and years. So I think a family tradition is what I first thing comes to my mind.
I mean, I love donuts. I eat too many. I like the donuts. We have those Laotian noodles in Harrisonburg Relief Sale. We shouldn't eat too much. That's something that the Bible says, but I love the pork barbecue. Everything's good.
Well, I think of Mennonites. I'm growing up Mennonite from Indiana. Our relief sale, it was always fun to go to the Goshen Mennonite relief sale.
Plus, we also, probably the second best thing is the food. There's so much amazing food there. And I'm going to quote our pastor's wife. She says it's like eating for Jesus.
I've been coming here ever since I was little, so just the memories of the relief sale is really exciting.
My name is Dave Rush, chair of the Relief Sale, and thank you very much for your support of MCC. All the way.
All right, so make sure you come to the Relief Sale this Saturday. As Brian previously introduced us, I'm Andy King, and I'm one of the co-leaders of Earthkeepers.
And I'm Mim Beck, also a co-leader of Earthkeepers.
As leaders in one of the many sustainability clubs here on campus, we'd like to give another big thank you to our Global South representatives for bringing us a new perspective on this issue of climate justice, as well as the work that needs to be done.
Yeah, so again, we're glad to be able to represent Earthkeepers at chapel this morning, and we are here to bring you the announcements.
So Creative Space is this Friday from 4 to 6 in the North Lawn Great Lounge. Creative Space is an event where students, faculty, and staff are invited for a low-key time to watercolor paint, color mandalas, play with Play-Doh, and relax with music and friends.
CAC is showing Incredibles 2 this Friday at 8 p.m. in the Science Center, and again on Saturday at 8 p.m. in the North Lawn Great Lounge. Crepes will be provided on Saturday. Come by for a super time.
That's bad. If you haven't caught wind of it yet, the Wind Ensemble concert will be on Sunday, October 7th from 5 to 6 in Lehman Auditorium. Come hear your fellow EMU students make some noise.
Mark Sawin, your calendar for Happy Hour Hangout on Monday, October 8th, from 3:30 to 5 in Common Grounds. This is an unstructured time for all EMU students, faculty, and staff to come hang out together for coffee and conversation.
And finally, CAC Trivia will be this Tuesday, October 9th, from 9 to 11 p.m. in Common Grounds. Bring five of the smartest people you know, or go it alone if you are the five smartest people you know. Battle for awesome prizes, bragging rights, and glory. Thanks. Have a great week.
And if you ever want to do the campus announcements one week representing a club or organization or a major or minor, whoever representing yourself, make sure that you let me know and we'll get you scheduled in. Today is also Mission and Service Day, and Career Services and Campus Ministries are hosting a number of groups with displays in the Campus Center and also over lunch in the East Dining Room. And meal tickets are available for those who don't have full meal plans. Just come to the East Dining Room anytime between 11:30 and 1:30. These are the groups that you can find on campus: the Girl Scouts of Virginia Skyline, Christian Peacemaker Teams, Virginia Mennonite Missions, Eastern Mennonite Missions, Peace Corps, Pulse in Pittsburgh, and Mennonite Central Committee. They're in the Campus Center, Greeting Hall, and also over lunch. Go enjoy the weather this day and one another, and take seriously the call to live lightly and justly.